Kill Radio Weekly News and Review. I'm your announcer, DJ Shy John, recording in Los Angeles. It's Tuesday, November the 19th, 2013. And I'm going to start at the top of the news with the Harper's Weekly Review. Also dated November 19th, 2013. In the Philippines, casualty estimates for Typhoon Haiyan were revised from 10,000 deaths to 3,976, and the official who provided the initial estimate was fired. As relief agencies struggled to get aid to remote areas, authorities ran temporarily out of body bags. Thousands of people ransacked a rice warehouse on Leyte Island. The country's energy minister pledged to restore electricity to all regions by Christmas Eve. And fears of corruption prompted Filipino media to advise immigrants to send funds to the Red Cross rather than government bank accounts. "I'm not going to mince words," said the editor of Filipino Migrant News. "We would like every cent to reach those poor people." Bangladeshi garment factory workers negotiated a 77% wage increase to $68 per month, making their pay still the lowest for garment workers in the world. An Ohio Walmart started a food drive for employees who couldn't afford Thanksgiving dinner. Scores of tornadoes struck the Midwestern United States, and United Nations delegates met in Warsaw to begin negotiating a new climate treaty. "We can stop this madness right now," said a Filipino envoy who declared that he would fast at the conference until a meaningful outcome is in sight. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu delayed construction of 24,000 settler homes in the occupied territories, and the Fourth Committee of the UN General Assembly passed 9 resolutions condemning Israel. "C'est important, non?" said an interpreter who was unaware her microphone was on, which means there's other really bad shit happening. Netanyahu offered the woman a job. An entomologist warned of the approaching extinction of the Israeli prickly pear. In Syria, where government forces have won a series of victories in recent weeks, a jihadist anti-government faction accidentally beheaded an allied rebel fighter. And in Iraq, a bomb killed 35 people attending a play about the death of Imam Hussein. "Those who were acting out the death," said a witness, "had died in reality." President Barack Obama apologized for fumbling the rollout of his health care reforms and introduced new rules allowing Americans to remain on insurance plans that companies had canceled because they didn't meet the standards of the Affordable Care Act. "It's easy," said an official from a state where few plans had been canceled, "so I like it." The Harrisburg Patriot News retracted a November 1863 report likening the Gettysburg Address to a veil of oblivion. A U.S. Navy drone crashed into a U.S. Navy guided missile cruiser. Whistleblowers told the U.S. Senate that Secret Service agents had engaged in sexual impropriety in 17 countries in recent years. And a former employee sued dating website Ashley Madison for injuries sustained while composing fake profiles to attract Brazilian men. Norway challenged the world to a game of chess. One World Trade Center was certified as the tallest building in the United States. And Canadian researchers held a quantum memory system stable at room temperature for 39 minutes, breaking the previous record of 25 seconds. "Measurement normally introduces noise," said former quantum memory record holder Thaddeus Ladd. A poll found a hypothetical 2016 presidential election between Chris Christie and Hillary Clinton to be a virtual dead heat. And American diners lamented a knish shortage following a fire at the world's largest knish factory. "Get a life," said a New York City chef. "It's just a knish." in Russia, which won a seat on the UN Human Rights Council. Artist Peter Pavlensky was charged with hooliganism for nailing his scrotum to Red Square to protest police repression. And Pussy Riot member Nadezhda Tolokonnikova turned up in a Siberian prison hospital following a transfer during which her whereabouts were unknown for 26 days. It took 15 days, said her husband, for Dostoevsky to make a similar distance in horse-driven carts. Nobel laureate Doris Lessing died at 94. China relaxed its one-child policy, and the city of San Francisco helped a 5-year-old boy whose leukemia was in remission to become Batkid for a day, staging several crimes for him to foil, wondering how many thousands of San Francisco kids living off SNAP food stamps could have been fed from the money, tweeted City Supervisor Eric Marr. The city of Vancouver was eliminating its doorknobs, and the city of Toronto stripped Mayor Rob Ford of most of his powers following the release of police reports detailing investigations into his alleged drug abuse, solicitations of prostitution, and sexual harassment of a policy advisor. And I'm not going to use this quote, said Ford, who retained lawyer George Rusdi. That's what it says, and told Fox News he hoped to become Prime Minister of Canada. I've got more than enough to eat at home, thank you very much. Japanese women were hunting more wild pig. Quebec physiologists discovered that snakes flick their tongues not just to smell but to taste. And German biologists publishing in the journal PNAS identified the smell receptors that make zebrafish averse to cadaverine. Spent money on that. In Cumbria, coroners still couldn't explain how an Englishman had died upon opening Pandora's box. This article written by Jeremy Keene left me with questions. And now on to another important article that I want you all to know. This is from theatlanticcities.com, politics, the Atlantic Cities, place matters, an ex-cop's guide to not getting arrested, by Mike Riggs, dated November 7th. Dale Carson is a defense attorney in Jacksonville, Florida, as well as an alumnus of the Miami-Dade Police Department and the FBI. So he knows a thing or two about how cops determine who to hassle and what all of us can do to not be one of those people. Carson has distilled his tips into a book titled Arrest Proof Yourself, now in its second edition. It is a legitimately scary book, 369 pages of insight on the many ways police officers profile and harass the people on their beat in an effort to rack up as many arrests as possible. Law enforcement officers now are part of the revenue-gathering system, Carson tells me in a phone interview. The ranks of cops are young and competitive. They're in competition with one another and intradepartmentally. It becomes a game. Policing isn't about keeping streets safe. It's about statistical success. The question for them is, who can put the most people in jail? Which would make the question for you and me, how can we stay out of jail? Carson's book does a pretty good job of explaining, in frank language, how to beat a system that's increasingly predatory. Be invisible to police. Carson has 4 golden rules, the first of which is, if police can't see you, they can't arrest you. The simplest application of this concept is that if you plan on doing something illegal, you should do it in the privacy of your home. Yes, you can be arrested while at home, but you can't be profiled sitting in your living room, and profiling is what you're trying to avoid. The rule extends to activities that are perfectly legal. In the 21st century America, he writes, as long as you're not committing a crime, you should be able to wear the wildest clothes you want, roam the streets when you feel like it, and lean on a light post or hang out at some wild club if it amuses you. Should is the key word. In reality, cops love hassling people who stand out, even though it's not illegal to, say, have a Buckeye bumper sticker that looks like a pot leaf. If you drive a sports car or a lowrider, you're more likely to attract a cop's attention than if you drive, say, a gray Honda Civic. Same goes for clothes, hairstyles, tone, and volume of voice. Be boring. So try to blend in. Beat cops who patrol the same routes day after day are incredibly attuned to incongruity. But don't be too reactive when you see cops. Police are visual predators, Carson writes. Any sudden change in motion, speed, direction, or behavior immediately attracts their attention. That means even if you're doing something you think might attract a cop's attention, quickly doing something else will attract even more attention. Don't alter the pattern, Carson advises. Keep on keeping on. Also, if you can help it, don't go out after dark. What if I can't be invisible to police? If police want to hassle you, they're going to, even if you're following the above tips as closely as possible. What then? Every interaction with a police officer entails two contests, one for psychological dominance and one for custody of your body. Carson advises, giving in on the first contest in order to win the second. Is that belittling? Of course. Being questioned by police is insulting, Carson writes. It is, however, less insulting than being arrested. What I'm advising you to do when questioned by police is pocket the insult. This is difficult and emotionally painful. Winning the psychological battle requires you to be honest with cops, polite, respectful, and resistant to incitement. If cops lean into your space and blast you with coffee and stale donut breath, ignore it, Carson writes. Same goes for if they poke you in the chest or use racial slurs. If you react, you'll get busted. Make eye contact, but don't smile. Cops don't like smiles. Always tell the truth. Lying is complicated. Telling the truth is simple. He also says you should be dignified unless it looks like you're about to lose both the psychological contest and the one for custody of your body, in which case you should be strategically pitiful. First off, you should ask for a notice to appear as an alternative to being arrested. You still have to go before a judge, but you can go under your own power without first going to jail. Carson says the least degrading way to get a cop to issue you a notice in lieu of arresting you is to tell them that you're not a hardened criminal and that being arrested and having your mugshot taken is going to impact your employment, education, and/or family. And if that doesn't work, it's debasement time. Start with crying. Bawl hard while begging for a notice. The option here is a notice or jail, not notice, jail, or getting off scot-free. Don't waste time worrying about what your friends will think, Carson says. If they're with you, they're getting arrested too. If they're not with you, they won't know. If crying fails, you're willing to do whatever it takes to not go to jail. Carson advises you to foul yourself so that the police will consider setting you free in order not to get their cruiser nasty, vomit on your clothes, defecate and urinate on your pants. Then let the officers know what you've done. If they arrest you anyway, you'll get cleaned and reclothed at the jail. Reasonable things you should never do. If you're driving too fast and see a police car up ahead, don't hit the brakes. If you suddenly hit the brakes, Carson writes, cops in front of you will see your front end dip, a tip off that you were speeding. Don't drive perfectly or too slow. Don't slouch or put too much heavy stuff in your trunk, causing your car to ride low. If you're a dude and you want to roll around town with your fellow dudes, be prepared for a stop. When cops see four young males in a car, they immediately wonder if this is a crew of criminals out to do a job. If you're going to ride four deep, have one member of your car wear a highly visible item of clothing indicating what you do for a living. For instance, if you're all construction workers carpooling on the way home from a job site, someone in the car should wear a hard hat. Seriously. Another reasonable thing you should never do, allow a cop to search your car. There are many loopholes that allow cops to search your car without probable cause or a warrant, but Carson advises you to say no every time. You should still follow all the rules of a traffic stop. Keep hands where cops can see them. Give them your paperwork. Get out of the car if they ask you to, but never let them search. Always, always, always say no politely. Well, I'm sure there's a lot more to that. There's plenty of videos on YouTube. But once again, Dale Carson's book is called Arrest Proof Yourself. Wise words in this day and age. Well, of course, there's plenty more news, but there are plenty more news sources, people. So all I have to say is please be good to each other in the coming week. Stay out of trouble and stay out of the news.